Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The biggest convention of its kind ever in the UK, Wrestling MediaCon 2018, is heading to Manchester on the 8th and 9th of September. Wrestling MediaCon 2018 will feature live wrestling shows from Revolution Pro and Impact Wrestling, meet and greet with all the talent, panel discussions from the likes of Inside the Ropes, and workshops on how to get into the world of professional wrestling from former WWE writers and bookers. There will also be guest matches from Defiant, NGW, and an NWA World's title defense by Nick Aldis, taped for £10 of gold. Other names announced for Wrestling MediaCon 2018 include The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman, Cultaholic, Botchamania, myself and Ollie from The Wrestle Ramble, and many more to be announced. Wrestling MediaCon comes to the Bowlers Exhibition Center in Manchester, England on the 8th and 9th of September. Tickets are available now from WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaft Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, on this brand new week of Wrestle Ramble nonsense. How the devil are you?
I'm great, because guess what we're getting to do, Swaft Nation? Me and Luke are reliving WrestleMania X7 right now.
Oh, it's so much fun reliving this. Like, I think I've said this more or less every time, but I love recording Wrestle Ramble Extra. It's such a fun show to do.
But you sound like you're putting it on.
No, I
didn't. This is like when you're reading an article in a magazine or a newspaper and you're like, oh, this is kind of interesting. God, the wording sounds a bit off. And then you notice in the top right, advertisement.
An advertorial.
Yes.
No, I genuinely do. I have so much fun recording the shows. And we are recording this intro and outro now. But as we were walking into the booth to record it, we were just talking about WrestleMania X7 and what bit we were up to. I really enjoyed our record yesterday, and I'm so looking forward to the second half of this record, / the third half, because you and I haven't watched the main events yet, but we're going to watch that together.
Yes, and then we're going to record our review of it. So, of course, this is a long roundabout advertorial way of saying you can get Wrestle Ramble Extra just by donating $5 or more a month on Patreon. It's every month, and we just do huge 3 to 4 hour podcast review episodes of pay-per-views chosen by you, the Pledge Hammers.
Exactly, yeah. Pledge Hammers do get to listen to this, and they do get relatively good feedback.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we've had bad feedback on the shows yet.
I mean, the only one is like, man, you guys put out too much quality content.
Well, there was. Like, when we put up our WrestleMania 25 episode was a 4-hour show. Mm. And the first comment was like, all right, guys, a bit much.
Yeah.
It's a bit too much content.
It was. But that's what you get. We're super serving. We're super serving the Swaff Nation content. So how was your weekend otherwise, buddy?
My weekend.
I know you're itching to talk about your Yeah, Hastings.
Oh, we just had a really, really nice time. We went down there on Friday evening and we watched... what did we watch on Friday? God blimey, what did we watch? We did watch a film. We watched Creep. The found footage
I'm
horror movie.
A widow.
Yes, not that one.
What the hell am I doing here?
I don't belong here.
Not a funny story that I'm going to tell.
Yeah.
I once watched the final of British reality TV show contest, The X Factor, or at least I think it was The X Factor, where G4 were the finalists.
Oh, right.
And they sung Creep in the final. They were sort of an all-male a cappella group that I was a very big fan of as a teenager. And, wow, I was home alone on a Saturday evening as a teenager, naughtily cracked open a bottle of wine.
Oh, hello.
Drank all the wine and cried listening to that. But carry on.
We watched Creep, which is it's a 2014 found footage movie starring Mark Duplass.
I love Mark Duplass.
And it's essentially about, like, he hires someone to come and record because he has got something wrong with him and he wants to, like, create a sort of a video diary for his unborn child to see. But things are not all they seem.
Ooh.
And it's genuinely very creepy. And Mark Duplass is excellent in it. And they've done a sequel to it. Both of them were
Creeps.
Yes, both of them are currently on Netflix. We plan to watch the second one at some point. But we just had a really nice time on Friday. We got to Indian takeaway, which was delightful. And then Saturday, we just went for a long walk. Nice.
A different kind of ramble.
A different kind of ramble. It was just a lovely, what we call a bimble. We just bimbled around and we went to the pub and we had some nice ales and then we got some chips. And then while we were, so we got some chips and we just like, we'll get them open. We'll just get them open wrapped because then we can go sit on the beach, pebbles. We'll go sit on the beach and we'll eat them. I got a pot of curry sauce. She got some mushy peas. I was like, we'll just sit there and we'll just dip into our little pots and we'll be on our merry way. And then, remember that scene in Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds? You know, right at the end when there's just like...
Multiple scenes.
Where there are just like all the birds around and there's like, it's the very, like, you sort of very slowly walk through them. We sort of had that, but with seagulls. Like, we saw there was just a big, like, a big mass of seagulls. I think they were, like, having a little party or maybe a little town meeting. And my wife turned to me and said, like, well, cover up the chips as best as you can. So I folded them over as best as I could, but it was not enough. They could smell it. And before I knew what had happened, a seagull had flown into the side of my head.
Whoa. Like it actually hit you.
Like, it, like, was going for the chips, but its wing just whacked me in the side of their heads.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know what part of it hit me, but it was heavy. And it, like, it not only did it sort of knock me, and I sort of, like, I flung the chips a little bit, and there's some chips just scattered everywhere. And she was like, whoa!
Bloodbath.
Like, and then they just scattered on the chips, and we used that as our escape. And my wife... I mean, she has laughed a lot in her time. I'm not sure she has laughed this much. And I know she'll be listening to this, and she will be laughing hysterically again because she found the whole incident very funny.
You've got to alpha those seagulls, man. You can't just walk into seagull territory, i.e. the beach, and expect them to roll over to you. You've got to walk in there. You've got to be the big dog of the beach. You've got to have someone introduce you as, it's Luke Owen... It's Luke time.
I walked in and I was like, it's boss time. It's chip time. And I want to have my chips and curry sauce.
And you can bank on that.
But it was really nice. And then on our Saturday nights, my birthday meal, we went to a place called Half Man.
People are going to think it's your birthday.
Oh, funny story. So I took a photo of it because it was a birthday meal. It was like a birthday gift from my in-laws to go and buy ourselves a meal when we were in Hastings. And I put up saying, like, you know, birthday present to me. And I put up a picture of the meal that I had. Everyone did just assume it was my birthday.
Of course they would.
Even before...
That's not their fault.
Do you know, my birthday... We celebrated my birthday 4 months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry everyone doesn't keep up to date with Luke's inner goings-on.
I just think that we discussed it quite a bit.
Man, you...
Like, if you put up something out saying, like, birthday thing, no one's going to assume that day is your birthday, because you've
it. I think they probably would.
I mean, it is my own fault, I do admit that.
It's so your fault. I feel like you're reluctantly taking 10% of the blame here.
No,
this is a 99% blame on you.
Oh, no, it's 100% blame on me, really. But, man, I've got to tell you about this thing. So I didn't want to tell you about this last week because you were in your fast. Which you hear a little bit about in this show with Ollie's angry reaction to the Greatest Royal Rumble. So we went to this place and it was called Half Man, Half Burger. And I had their guest burger, which was the pizza burger.
What?
I know, but this is why I waited to tell you this on air.
Pizza is my favourite thing.
I know, right, so get this. So every burger is double patty, right?
Shut up.
So it's double patty with cheese.
Get out.
Marinara sauce.
Okay.
With pepperoni.
Where's the pizza? Okay, there's a bit of pizza in there.
And garlic bread buns. So it tastes like you're eating a pizza, but it's a burger.
Oh, shut up.
And it is delightful. It was, honest to God, I had it medium rare, and it was just exquisite. It was so good.
And the great thing, that's like 60% of that is a vegan meal, isn't it?
So
you're pretty much vegan there.
It was one of those days where I was not vegan. At least not for that meal anyway.
Wow, that sounds incredible. I mean, I don't really have garlic on my pizza, usually.
I can't drink out of this cup. I keep spilling it on my T-shirt.
It's a normal cup, man. I don't know what's the struggle. But the... Yeah, like, how would the garlic play into the pizza taste?
Well, because you would have garlic bread, right?
As a starter,
yeah. But, like, it was just...
Oh, you're making me want a pizza now.
It just... I don't know, man. It just really worked. And it was a bun. Like, it wasn't, like, bits of garlic bread, which was a concern of mine. After I'd ordered it, I was like, oh, if this comes as actual garlic bread, like, it's going to be... You're going to get garlic stuff over your fingertips when you're trying to hold it. But it was just, like, a garlic-infused bun. Like, a garlicky butter-infused bun.
I feel you.
And it just worked, man. It was so darn tasty, and it was great. And we had like these rosemary chips. My wife got to have a mushroom and black bean burger.
That's unfortunate.
With like various different types of vegan cheeses on, and then she had cheesy chips, like vegan cheesy chips, which were also quite nice. But it was wonderful. We had some beers and we watched Captain America Civil War, and a nice time was had by all.
Bish bash bosh.
And then we went to go see Avengers Infinity War on Sunday, and my wife loved it. Absolutely loved it. She called it, and I quote, a near-perfect movie.
Put that on the poster.
Oh, yeah.
What was wrong with it, then?
Well,
avoiding spoilers, of course.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's the problem, is I can't really talk about her issues with it without talking about spoilers. Speaking of
which... The Batman reveal was too soon, yeah.
The Martha thing just really just put her off.
Like, when it was revealed that everyone's mum was called Martha in the final act, including Thanos's, I was just like...
It's not
to add Thanos to the Martha thing as well was a bit much.
I'm all for changing the source material, but I thought that was a step too far. Yeah. No, but speaking of, though, I've had a lot of requests from people and emails and tweets and messages.
Do you want to save this for the outro? We're already 10 minutes in.
It's just a question more than anything.
Okay.
Of people asking us to do a spoiler-filled review of Avengers Infinity War, because they would like to hear our thoughts where we're not trying to tiptoe on Infinity Stone eggshells.
But that's like, it'll be hard to do that in 10 minutes.
Well, you and I have already had like mammoth discussions about certain things.
I want to see it again, because I watched it again last Thursday, but I hadn't eaten for 36 hours. Kind of detracted from my attention. I was just sitting there hating everyone, eating popcorn. But enough of that, let's get on with the show. Where the most pertinent question, one of them is, what are WWE doing with our good friend Bobby? The man who went on to dominate Impact Wrestling and TNA for a few years in his 10-year WWE interim. Now he just comes out, he doesn't feel special. He should feel special, right? Look at his impressive physique. Look at all 20 of his abs. Look at that body.
Look at that hot
Bobby Lashley body.
Are you hot for Bobby Lashley?
I'm hard for Bobby Lashley. He's got an impressive physique. He's 40
years old.
Harder
than you are for Rollins?
Rollins is, I'm hard for in a different way.
Mm.
He gets me excited in a more guttural way. Bobby's just like an initial wow, and then it's, okay, you're not really doing anything with him.
But I think I'm not sure whether we should be doomsaying on the Bobby Lashley experiment just yet.
We are merely asking a question
for anyone who thinks we are being negative Nigels. But I do think that we are in a really bizarre period of WWE at the moment where Raw doesn't really have many storylines going on at the moment. It's just been sort of like house show mania until Backlash is done, and then we can maybe put him into a feud and see what's going on. But I do agree that he is considerably colder than when he first made his return. Because what has he done since his return other than suplex people? And, I mean, you could argue that's all Brock Lesnar does, but he's done a couple of stalling suplexes, and he dropped, who did he drop in the Rumble? He dropped someone like right on their heads in the Rumble. I can't remember who it was now. They tried to do
this. Big Cass.
I thought it was Big Cass, but I didn't want to say it was Big Cass. But yeah, it was. So they dropped Big Cass just right on his head in the Royal Rumble. And that's pretty much all he's done since coming back.
Well, he has done something else, and this is where I'm kind of souring on their plans for him. And that is, work as the person who gets heat for the Braun Strowman hot tag. The night after WrestleMania, that's where he makes his return. And he has a squash match. Well, it wasn't even a match, was it?
He suplexed
Elias. It was an angle on Elias where he just gave him that impressive delayed suplex. And we both said at the time, hey, Bobby Lashley looks great. That's a heck of a suplex. I can't wait to see what he... Not the most impactful debut. Would have preferred him to debut in a more special way with maybe a storyline to sink his teeth into. But no, but fine. Then the next week, it was the Superstar Shake-Up, which was a 10-man tag in the main event. The following week, it was in a tag match with Braun Strowman against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, where Bobby was worked over for the whole match until he got that excellent Braun Strowman hot tag. And then here, again, another tag match, this time a 6-man, where Bobby and Roman got worked over most of the time for the Braun hot tag again. So it is, like you said, House Show Mania this month, which is just absolutely bewildering, because you kind of think WrestleMania, mainstream interest in wrestling has peaked. You want to carry that momentum through, right? Not just cut its legs off.
The problem is you had that 5-hour house show that we had on Friday that we had to air on the WWE Network that we sort of built towards and then sort of have done stuff afterwards, which has interfered with our Backlash build.
But what? This isn't an argument, though, because SmackDown...
No, I'm not saying it is an argument.
SmackDown...
terrible.
SmackDown is handling this perfectly. And where you've got a mixture of storylines that can weave into Greatest Royal Rumble and Backlash and still building stuff beyond while having an absolutely fascinating roster.
Well, yeah, I mean, compare what SmackDown has done with Jeffrey Hardy winning the United States Championship. He's won the United States Championship, and instantly he's begun a feud with Randy Orton. Like, on the day he debuted on SmackDown in the Superstar Shake-Up, he started a feud with Randy Orton. And then that has continued, because they're now having a match at Backlash. But in the interim, he had a match with Jinder Mahal at Greatest Royal Rumble. You compare that to the Intercontinental Championship title picture on Raw, where Seth Rollins is not facing Finn Balor at Backlash, as you might assume, having based on the last 4 weeks of Raw. He's actually facing The Miz. But they've done nothing to promote The Miz match. He's just having that match.
Yes, it's but back to Bobby Lashley. He is, of all the Raw things, I worry he's the one who's getting the worst hand, because he needed an oomph. And it's like WWE see Bobby Lashley, the size of him, and think he's a former WWE star. We can just put him in there and he'll get reactions. But that actually hasn't happened.
Not at all.
It's like the crowd, that was a decade ago. And really, what did Bobby Lashley do? I know he had the big money match with Donald Trump and Amaga.
Who's Donald Trump? Never heard of him.
He's that guy who's in charge of something big. Okay.
The Apprentice.
And like, he was never on top for that long. It was like a year, 2 year run, Bobby Lashley. So for him to come back a decade later, the fan base has kind of turned over. All those people who were, not all of those people who were fans then, but some of them grew up, stopped watching wrestling. A few others might have stayed. They probably don't even know who Bobby is or why he's a big deal.
Yes, that is part of the problem, is they kind of like relied on the fact that, as you say, hey, he was here a while ago, people will just remember that and they'll cheer for him. Also, look at the size of him, people will just cheer. It's the Vince mentality. Dave Meltzer mentioned on Wrestling Observer Radio that when business is down, Vince goes to the big guys. Like, that's his go-to thing. He's just like, oh man, people aren't really interested in my product anymore, let's just get a load of big guys and we'll put them in big guy stuff, and then that'll get the crowd interested again.
It's a human reaction. When WrestleTalk views are down, I go back to vacant. lot of silhouette question mark thumbnails. Mm-hmm. Love those
love
guys.
Love that stuff.
So Bobby Lashley on this particular show, again, I'm trying to figure out what his placement on the card is, because the show opened with Roman Reigns. We'll get into it in the full review. And then all the three heels, so hometown boys, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens,
yeah,
who are totally playing up to the crowd.
God, they got such heel reactions got this week.
And Jinder Mahal. And they're all beating down Roman Reigns. And then who's the first guy to make the save? Bobby Lashley. He runs down. And, like, I guess you can... And there was no... There was a reaction, but it was nothing, really. And this was a lively crowd.
Oh, wasn't it just... But this is a lively crowd that only wanted to cheer two people, really.
No,
well,
no.
I'm saying...
They cheered in Seth Rollins, they gave the big thing
to. Let me finish.
Well, I just think you...
Let me finish.
Okay, Luke.
They were really interested in cheering two people in this segment. They were interested in cheering for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and then Braun Strowman came out, and they were like, oh, yeah, also Braun is awesome.
But they're... Okay, cheering, yes. But I would say, just reaction-wise, Jinder got a lot of boos, Roman got a lot of boos.
Oh, didn't he just?
Bobby Lashley, of those six, it was just like, oh, hi, Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very muted reaction. Not one either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And that, to me, that's the worst thing. That's disinterest. Because there's nothing real... What is Bobby's character? Has he had a promo?
No, yeah. No, but promos was never his strong suit anyway. But, like, it's...
been nothing.
There has been nothing. But, again, as I say, like, it's just... Raw is in this sort of house show a mania era at the moment. And I think after Backlash, we should get a better... Because he's not in a storyline. He hasn't got a character. He's not in a feud. He hasn't done anything apart from be Braun's tag team partner, which he's now done 3 weeks on the trot. So, let's readdress this after Backlash when heaven forbid, Raw might have some storylines, and then we can sort of like get a bit of a lay of the land and see what happens then.
I just, if you were to look at this and how I would have done it, because we even had a show, What Next for Bobby Lashley, when I think the weekend after he returned. And it's like, well, we talked about maybe putting him in a feud with Samoa Joe, but I think we both agreed, squash matches.
Yeah.
Let's do a squash match every week. That's not something that needs a big storyline. You can go through Greatest Royal Rumble and Backlash with these squash matches. And it makes him feel a bit special and reintroduces him.
100% a much better way of doing that. The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This episode of Wrestle Ramble is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you can get access to our Patreon-exclusive podcast, Wrestle Ramble Extra, where Ollie and I review classic pay-per-views from wrestling's past. Previous episodes include Money in the Bank 2011, Armageddon 2000, Wrestle Kingdom 10, WrestleMania 25, and more. The next episode continues the WrestleMania theme with arguably the best Mania ever, WrestleMania X7, featuring the epic main event of The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin for the WWF Championship. It also has the Triple H versus Undertaker match you're supposed to forget happened, and the Gimmick Battle Royal! Your backing will get you access to all previous episodes too. Head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk for more information. That's patreon.com/WrestleTalk.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So the full episode of Raw kicked off with a Greatest Royal Rumble recap from the beautiful, beautiful city of Jeddah. My, is it lovely.
Now, you and I did not do a video review for the Greatest Royal Rumble. Do you want to give a quick summary now?
Okay, so I was watching it on Friday, fully expected there to be a title change. I was all prepped at home in my dressing gown and pyjamas to... which I got in about 5 p.m., by the way.
Yeah. So, like, I think that's 100% understandable. Yeah. As soon as I get home from work, I am basically into my PJs.
Yeah. And but I only talked about this on the podcast, but at this point, I hadn't eaten for 2.5 days.
That's right.
I won't go into it. I was doing a fast.
You're 48-hour fast.
So I was grumpy.
You were.
I was a grumpy man. So I thought, but you know, like, some bits
I had to work with you.
I enjoyed on the show, and I quite enjoyed the ladder match. It was just weird. And I appreciated the reaction of Triple H and John Cena in that opening match. It was just bizarre. Like, such a big pop for a shoulder tackle or whatever it was.
As I put in my... I only saw the start of the Cena-Triple H match live because I was on my way. I was travelling, as we talked about on the podcast previously. But I was just like, oh, man, John Cena came out to a massive babyface reaction and no one was singing John Cena Sucks with his entrance music. This might be the first pay-per-view to take place not in Bizarro World.
Yeah, this is what Vince wants the world.
This is what he wanted in 2006.
And I'm like, okay, I'm watching the Lesnar-Reigns match, which I didn't hate, I must say. I've seen a lot of people be down on it, but I was kind of liking the big move, because I was building up to the title change... because I was ready to record the reaction video, put that up, that would be my thing. And Roman speared Brock through the cage. I'm like, oh my God. And I thought Roman's feet hit the ground first, and then he rolled over and his whole body. I was like, oh my God, we got new champions. And then they started saying on commentary, no, Brock's won, it's okay. And I honestly shouted out in my grumpy state, hungry state, F this, slam the laptop shut, and just didn't do anything. So maybe a little bit unprofessional, but I didn't want to do anything.
which is fair enough. I still haven't watched the whole show. I did watch the Rumble, though, and the Rumble was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. And to be honest, like, a lot of people said, like, why haven't you done a review? And I was like, there's very little to say about the show. Actually, there's remarkably very little to say about the show.
It's just a broadcast New York Madison Square Garden house show thing.
Yeah, I thought of a really, really good comparison to what it is. Because a lot of people were having a pop at you and I for calling it a house show. Because they're like, it's not a house show. Look at this stage. Pachiti, like, even put up saying, like, I've never seen a house show that looks like this. And, you know, Pachiti's not wrong when he says things like that. But a lot of people down on the idea that this was, quote, a house show. I suddenly realised this while I was in Hastings away from the weekend. It's not a house show. It's the UK-only pay-per-views they used to do, like Insurrection and Rebellion. Shows that didn't really have storylines going in, but were a bunch of matches, and nothing ever happened on them. There was one show when someone in the crowd had a sign that says, I'd put money that nothing consequential happens on this show.
That's a long sentence for a sign.
Wasn't it just? And that's what it felt like, really. It's just like, yeah, this is just a pay-per-view, and like a pay-per-view just for this audience, because there's nothing will change coming out of this show, and the landscape will be exactly as it was, only now Braun has got a lime green belt that we'll never see again, and a giant trophy, which we did see.
It is big. And actually, there was one impactful thing. I don't know if you saw it happen, It was where Titus fell over.
Yeah, no.
They played it down a lot.
Oh, do you know what? I've heard a couple of people say something about it. WWE in particular have been very quiet about the whole thing. They've really tried to sweep that under the rug.
I mean, I bet they were counting their lucky stars. All the controversy, the women's and homosexual rights stuff. But Titus fell over. That's the thing we put in the replays.
It's so funny. So Gorilla Position did their podcast review of it. And one of the guys, Matt Davis, was on there talking about, like, you know, his sort of political opinions sort of like on this show. And it got really sad. And then James Dealer, the presenter, goes, still, Titus falling over was funny, wasn't it? And
it's great.
When I was travelling to Hastings, going for my lovely little weekend away with my wife, I suddenly heard this great disturbance. And I was like, oh, what was that? I just felt like the earth sort of shook a little bit. And when I watched the rumble back, I was like, oh, it was the sound of Vince McMahon cackling when Titus O'Neil fell over. Like, I can almost imagine how hard Vince was laughing at that. All those replays, that was not Michael Cole. That was not Kevin Dunn. That was Vince McMahon going like, show me again. Show me him fall over again.
And I feel like it's destined to be part of his gimmick forevermore. But yes, there was a Greatest Royal Rumble recap. My main takeaway from just the video package was pyro. I love pyro. I'm a simple man who likes explosions.
Yep. I mean, you don't know what you've got until it's taken away from you.
So the actual show kicked off with the Roman Reigns promo, as we've already said. Reigns comes out. There hasn't been such a thunderous negative reaction like this for a while, I feel.
Yeah.
Since probably going back to last year's Raw After Mania.
I'd almost imagine WWE were like, phew, thank God he got a reaction.
Yeah, because the Canadian Montreal crowd were very against Roman.
No plants this week.
No. Maybe they were all our plants. we bought out the entire arena.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into that discussion again, but just want to say that I was basically right, though, wasn't I? For
that one guy. We do not know about the other 19. But yes, Roman comes out, and he moans again.
Oh, he's... Do you know what? I mean, I say that the Greatest Royal Rumble hasn't impacted everything, but it's killed him. That loss at WrestleMania, which they did just to swerve fans, they did it for no other reason but to swerve fans, has killed any momentum that Roman had, which I hasten to add was not a lot. But he's just completely flattened out now. And he came out pissed and moaned about the fact that he should be Universal Champion, because they're really putting over this idea that, like, his feet did touch first, the floor first. Chad Patton has admitted that it was a mistake and he should have caught, but these mistakes happen in WWE, and the commentators are going like, oh, mistakes happen in this company sometimes, but he is the rightful champion. He's just standing there pissing and moaning. I'm like, I don't care, mate. And then he was like, I will be Universal Champion. And I'm like, I don't care. And I really don't think you will. I don't think he can't at this point. It's way beyond it now.
It's weird because this is a heel way of approaching this situation. A badass babyface would just be like, I don't care. I'm just going to start beating people up until I get some answers.
I'll just beat him again.
Yeah, but this is like Christian back in the Randy Orton feud, where he keeps on using all these legal loopholes to try and get his rematches.
Yeah. It's, do you know what it is? It's Big Show at the Rumble 2000. When Big Show, he did win the match. Rock's feet touched the floor first and Big Show touched second. Big Show legitimately won that match, but Rock was the recognised winner. But Big Show was cutting heel promos, being like, guys, look, I've proven that I was right. You don't have to boo me now. But everyone was booing because he was crying and whinging about it. And it's really funny. The other thing I thought about this was that they kept saying, like, oh, the referee's decision is final. The referee made a mistake. And I suddenly thought back to that tag team championship title change they did with American Beta when they won the tag straps on SmackDown. And it was a screwy finish. And another referee came down and was like, you made a mistake there, lad. And he was like, ah, you know what? I was right. Let's restart this sucker. And I said at the time, that will come back to bite people on the ass.
Well, there's no consistency. This is just their rule structure this week. It's infuriating.
It is infuriating. And it makes me care even less.
But then Samoa Joe appeared on screen.
Thank God.
To a huge babyface pop.
Well, we are in Bizarro Land.
Yes.
Because they were booing Roman Reigns. It's not the kind of reaction you're usually hearing.
Everyone else got the right reaction. You know, that. I guess the heels were cheered, but all the other baby faces were cheered. Bobby Lashley, maybe not.
When Seth Rollins came out to his huge ovation, God, it was really bizarro world.
A broken clock is right twice a day, you know. So Samoa Joe says, look, you've failed again.
Like, yeah, you have, mate.
But then Jinder Mahal came out, Canadian hero Jinder Mahal, and he got a few boos. But oh my God, I was not prepared for what happened next. Sami Zayn comes out. The crowd exploded.
They lose their collective minds. It was insanity. It was awesome. And I just thought, I was like, this is the sort of reaction Sami should have been getting every single week. So if they'd have done it right.
I was watching him and it was like, this is... Right now, you're a babyface. You're moving around like a heel. But you know what? That heel physicality could be a babyface. And I thought, maybe this is where Sami is in 2 to 3 years. He's done the babyface stuff and he was solid and resolute. And I'm a babyface, but I don't really, you know, like, there's not really a fun side to me. I'm just going to fight and win and do the right thing. And now he's a heel. And he's the complete other way. I'm going to cheat and do everything and I'm going to be all obnoxious, waddy, waddy, waddy. And I do make a lot of jokes, a lot more jokes. Maybe, like, you've got it, because they always tell this in the structure of movies. You have to, you start out where you are and then you go into the woods and you sort of embrace the badness of the woods. But then you use that badness and what you had in the first place to combine for the synergy, or whatever, to become a new, better person, better than both those first two parts in the final act. That's where you overcome the big bad. So, like, a Sami that can make funny jokes, but in a babyface way overall. Like, that's where I see... And right here, that was a proof of concept for me. I know it's in Canada.
I was going to say, it's one crowd, because... And it's, you know, they even said in commentary, we're about 15 miles from his front door. Mm. Like, this is... And same with Kevin Owens. You know, he came out also to a ginormous babyface welcome home reaction. And they were cutting promos in French and the crowd were just lapping up everything that they did. And you are right. Like, it's, you know, I always argue you turn people heel because you want to turn them babyface again. When we did our Bailey heel turn Fantasy Booking Warfare, both of us were just like, you want to turn her heel because you want to get her back into a babyface position so people can cheer her again. And with Sami in particular, because he's such a great babyface, you've only got to look at this stuff he's done in NXT, whereas he is awesome as a babyface, that this is the journey to do it. But I'm not sure, like, you saying this is a proof of concept is possibly incorrect because of this one town. Like, he's not going to get this reaction next week.
Well, totally. But his character and the way he can make jokes and it receive a babyface reaction, and I don't hate him. Like, I'm not, oh, you're just being an obnoxious heel.
Kevin Owens has done it ever since he debuted on the main roster. He has always been a heel that people cheer.
I really do think Sami Zayn could be more than just that. Not a two-dimensional babyface makes it sound like I was being down on his previous babyface character. I'm including the NXT stuff, but I think you can add a comedy rock joke level layer to it.
Oh yes, because if he goes back to babyface, I don't want to see him go back to the I'm fighting for what's right babyface, because we got that with Daniel Bryan. We don't need it with Sami Zayn as well. So Sami said that he couldn't go to the Greatest Royal Rumble because of Bobby Lashley. Mm. Did Bobby make him Syrian?
Punched him so hard. He turned Syrian.
Oh man.
He said it was vertigo.
Yes, he said he got vertigo, sadly. And when Kevin Owens came out and he got this massive pop and he did this promo in French and the crowd started chanting wee, 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 and he just turned to Roman Reigns and was like, that means yes.
Very funny. I read a translation of what he was saying.
Oh yeah?
And it was along the lines of, I'm pretty excited to be here. I'm not going to say this word, but I'll say darn. And apparently darn and this word are very close. And the word he didn't say is like the F word in Canadian. Wow. So it was a funny way, and that's why it got such a big pop. But when they were all coming out, and this is, again, some fuel for the house show fire, why are they all just coming out and challenging Roman? Roman isn't
because
the number
Roman's
one.
Roman's the top guy, man.
He's not the number
he's
one
the
contender
top guy
anymore.
In the company.
He's not the title
he's
holder.
He's the rightful Universal Champion, Ollie Davis. Of course people want to come out and challenge Roman Reigns. He's the guy around here. He's the top dog. He's the big dog. That's why.
Mm. Well... Yeah, and there's no story, there's no context.
There's no story.
It's just people, and especially Jinder. Like, okay, Owens and Sami, but then they weren't even remotely involved with Roman before this. It was just such a lazy way to set up a six-man tag, even lazier, because, you know, the heels start beating up Roman, and then Bobby runs out, nobody cares, And he like, well, I guess Bobby was had a match. He had one match that he won last week where there was no cheating involved against Sammy and Kevin. So I guess he's really petty and he wants to come out and hurt them some
more. Well, the thing is, when you're doing house show loops, you don't want to do the same matches every night. So you've got to try and shake it up a little bit. And they just decided that, hey, we did the tag match last time. Let's make it a six-man this time. But it's basically still the same match.
But then most egregiously was Braun Strowman coming out, who I love and got a huge reaction. Love those hands. But when were Braun and Roman friends?
Oh, well, yeah, I did get a tweet from somebody saying, like, I guess Roman really forgave him for all of that ambulance stuff that they did last year.
And the other way.
And the other Roman way around as well.
Literally tried to murder
he
Braun.
He tried to murderize him. On TV, no less.
So, I just... It's fun, but there is nothing.
No, absolutely there is nothing there. There is nout going on at the moment.
This is the way I enjoy fireworks. Wow.
Like
and
pyro.
That's it. It's pyro. Yeah. But
I don't know.
But Braun did throw Sunil Singh over the top rope onto Jinder, which was always fun. And the six-man tag was made for later that night.
Amazingly here, in my notes, I've written, the baby faces get tossed around and then Braun tosses Sunil Singh. I meant to say all the heels got tossed around, but I was so confused by Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens getting this huge... And because they were being booed, like, the babies were being booed as they were beating up Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I just instantly wrote down baby faces.
It's bizarro world.
It's bizarro. Oh, it's bizarro. Sorry.
Yeah.
And like, bizarro notes.
It is just, from a psychology standpoint, Braun's your top baby face. Like, really.
Roman's the
really.
Top baby face.
And Roman's the guy you want to be your top baby face.
Yep.
Why would you put both of those out there with two guys you know who are going to get enormous reactions with Owens and Zayn?
I have zero idea. Like, you knew this was going to happen. Like, you must have known this was going to happen. You couldn't have said, like, man, these guys are from 15 minutes down the road. Do you know what we should do? Make them their heels tonight and put them against Roman and Braun. Like, why would you do that? It makes absolutely no sense. And last thing I want to think on the Bizarro World comment... I know last week you got really fired up about the plants and you said, like, that's really sad. Bizarro World to me is so much sadder than plants. Like, I think that is, of all the petty WWE things that they do, that's the one that I think is the real saddest one. It's the one that makes me genuinely sad.
It's up there. It's up there. Yeah. I mean, there's a list. there's many. So, yes, Elias is shown next. Backstage drinking some tea because he's got a bad throat for singing. And as soon as I saw that teacup, because we are currently rewatching WrestleMania X7, I thought, well, that's getting urinated in.
Someone has pissed in that, mate.
This is going to become a thing. Elias is going to be drinking his tea, and then Bobby Roode or someone is going to defecate in his sandwich.
X-Pac.
Yeah.
Poor old Mark Henry.
So. But then Elias comes out, has a great performance. Of course, he's super over anyway.
Bizarro World.
Going to be even more over in Montreal. There was a bit where he said, you know, what does WWE stand for? And the crowd go, walk with Elias. I swear, he just goes, wow. Like, under his breath. Like, it must be really hard to be pretend to be a douchebag.
Yeah.
But actually be quite thrilled everything's going so well.
And then so he was singing a song, and then Bobby Roode made his entrance, and they had a match, which was, I mean, it was Chinlock City. It was just a lot of rest holds, and then Roode made a comeback, and then Elias rammed him into the ring post, and Roode fell to the outside.
Maybe it's a thing against Bobby's, because Bobby Roode is Canadian.
He certainly is.
He has some awesome entrance music.
He certainly does.
He got less of a reaction than Bobby Lashley, really.
But it's funny as well, because Natalya didn't get the big Canadian reaction either. She, like, Ronda Rousey was more over than Natalya was in her match, and Ronda Rousey wasn't in the match.
I thought Natalya got a big pop when she came. I was like, oh, yeah, of course, because it's Canada.
Yeah.
And then I saw Ronda Rousey next to her.
More like it's Ronda.
Oh, there's a Ronda Rousey chant now. Yeah, it's definitely Rousey.
It's Rousey.
By the way, this is a go-home show.
Yeah,
we're 27 minutes in.
Yeah, Backlash is this Sunday.
Backlash is on Sunday.
Yeah.
So
can you here's a fun game. Can you name me any matches that are happening?
Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Is that really happening?
Yeah, I mean, I can name quite
not.
A few.
That's, is that actually happening on Backlash?
Yeah, they announced it.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Which is why it's even bizarre that Owens would take the pin in the six man here.
I genuinely, and I'm not messing here, I genuinely didn't know that was a match. I thought you were taking the piss then. I thought you were just naming blokes.
No, I mean, I'm excited about all the SmackDown matches.
I was about to say, Bobby's not even on the card for Backlash.
Well, it was a late addition. I suppose. But yeah, the Backlash is a thing. But Bobby is thrown, he's kind of being worked over his neck throughout the match, and then he's thrown into the ring post, and then the EMTs come down and they kind of call off the match. So really it's a no contest, but Elias declares himself the winner and walks off.
One of the medics says that Bobby might have crushed his larynx.
Damn larynx.
Yeah, and then I did like when Elias was walking past the medics, he went, oh, was he hurt? And then carried on walking. What a dick. Great.
That is
it.
The second clean victory Elias has over Bobby Roode in
would
2 weeks.
Would you call that a clean victory?
Well, yes. Because...
I suppose Roode did lose.
There was no cheating. Well, it was a no contest. The referee kind of called it off. But to me, that is a super clean victory. And then, there was no cheating in the match. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just going to say it's two back-to-back clean victories.
Do you know how I like to get baby faces over? Yeah. I like to take them across from one brand to the other and then have them lose week to week. Just, it really gets them over.
And I love Elias to a mid-card guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. Authors of Pain, however, we know where we are with them.
Certainly
they're
do.
Squashing jobbers.
They're in Bobby Lashley's role.
Jean-Paul and Francois.
So great.
Very Canadian.
These two were great.
Yeah, they had a little pre-match promo.
I've written here they're two perfect local competitors.
Yeah, yeah, they did very well. And they got, I mean, it was very quick. Super Collider and Last Chapter, is that what it's called? The end?
Yeah, Last Chapter, yeah.
Yeah, and then AOP, but then AOP cut a promo.
Well, and this is why they had Paul Ellering as their manager for so long. Corey Graves said that at least these two local jamokes, as he likes to call them, won't have to go far to get back to their mum's house to get better.
Yeah.
And then put over the idea that they get free healthcare, which seemed like a bit of a dig.
But back to the promo.
After they cut a promo saying that the Book of Pain is staying open, and as my notes say here, they say something like Sentence of Destruction, but I'm not sure.
It's because they showed fire and they were shouting very well. Like, shouting was good. But they were moving around their head from the microphone. So a lot of it wasn't picked up and it went quiet. Which is fine. Like, that's cool. That's like a cool manic way to deliver a promo. If you're delivering that kind of manic promo, don't make it so obviously scripted with just the... Oh, I just hate the way WWE writes language.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that's why they had Paul Ellering. Why take him away from it?
Yeah.
Then we had another Saudi Arabian travel advert.
Travel advert.
And Michael Cole again said, the progressive Saudi Arabia.
Oh yes, progressive. They've had 48 beheadings this year, I believe.
It's like progressive relative to 2 years ago. Well, no, like, I'm sure it's getting better and like women can drive, but... that's only a recent thing.
Yeah.
So I guess you can make the argument it is more progressive
than it was
2 years ago.
I see your point you're making there. Okay, I'm with you on that
one.
Now,
it's not completely inaccurate to say it's progressing.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you and I got a bit of heat for calling this show propaganda when we were doing our preview for it, and when we were kind of talking about the build-up to the build-up, big air quotes, for Greatest Royal Rumble. A lot of people said, like, I think it's unfair to call it propaganda. I mean, John Cena's promo at that show was one sentence away from, like, I would come here as a holiday, and I recommend you do too. And then all of these videos as well. This is, it's quite literal propaganda.
John Cena is a very good actor. His heart was not in that promo.
It really wasn't. there was nothing behind those eyes.
Yeah.
There was nothing there.
Like, to see his like make a wish advert stuff he genuinely cares about.
Yeah.
He's putting these all into that.
Man, like,
he's bumping around in those adverts. Not in the Greatest Royal Rumble
promo. Oh, dearie me. It was something else.
So next up we had Seth Rollins, babyface, getting a babyface reaction. Crazy.
Yeah. As I've written in my caps lock here, he's your guy.
Mm.
Like, the Roman thing isn't working. Do you know what is working? Seth freaking Rollins. Monday Night Rollins is working. He's your guy.
Yeah. And that they first started chanting Olé.
I think that's what I say. Maybe it's a Canadian thing.
A. They say A, don't they? A lot.
Oh, Canadians, yes, a. Canadians, yes. So for a second then, I thought you went like into Liverpool.
A little bit of that.
Yeah.
And then they transitioned into You Deserve It for his Intercontinental title win. Seth Rollins soaked this up for a while.
Didn't he just? I mean, the crowd were going effing ballistic.
And then he said, merci beaucoup.
Yeah, it was lovely. And that got a massive reaction.
Huge
pop. And because it worked so well, but again, because it felt off the cuff, it felt like it was just a genuine thing. And he prefaced it, was like, I'm not very good at this. Merci beaucoup. As I thought, it was a really nice, like, human touch to not just saying, like, oh, I've been scripted to say this line. It's just like, mate, my French isn't very good, but I'm going to try and say this. Merci beaucoup. I thought it was wonderful.
Seth is a very, very good promo, but sometimes it feels, because he was scripted in his heel run for so long, like the second coming of Triple H's Reign of Terror, felt.
Yeah, he was.
That those 20-minute promos just makes me...
I'm Seth Rollins, basically, for 20 minutes every single week.
I sometimes think, oh, he's a bit of a boring promo because I think of that. But actually, he's a very good promo.
Great promo.
And he was doing very well with the, I imagine, the material he was given. Balor interrupts, however, with his LGBT club
T-shirt. He's allowed to wear it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably because he was getting some online criticism for not wearing it at certain events. And this was one of my favourite lines of the night. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No.
So Finn Balor comes out and says, I want to challenge you. Because, yeah, Seth said, I'm going to be a fighting champion, unlike Brock Lesnar. And everyone's like, boo, Brock Lesnar. Finn comes out, I want to fight you for the title then. And Seth Rollins goes, oh, but I've got a match against The Miz at Backlash this Sunday. But, and Finn Balor looks at them and goes, I like that but.
I did not hear that.
And I just... I kind of... It was such a Beavis and Butthead moment in my head.
He said, but.
Seth asked the crowd if this is a good idea. They respond.
They thought it was a great idea.
And then the Miz's music hits. And I think, the Miz has turned up as well with Samoa Joe earlier. Okay, we're getting an actual backlash. But it's the Miz Taraj, okay. Yeah. But they came out and they cut a kind of funny promo. They want a new Four Horsemen faction.
Yeah, so they came out saying, we made a mistake last week in asking you individually to be a new team when we should be a team together. And they revealed they've got a new T-shirt, which is just white T-shirts with their faces, like, sellotaped to it.
It was like a serial killer had made a T-shirt.
It was really funny. But then they were like, they went, 1, 2, 3, 4... Four Horsemen. And then, for what felt like 10 minutes, going, huh? 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 And every time they did it, I laughed.
It was funny.
It was really funny.
I hope they've got something for Curtis and Bo.
Yeah, they have. They're the Mistourage.
Yeah, something else. and then this sort of breaks into a scuffle after Rollins and Finn turn them down. And at the end of it, after Seth throws out Curtis or Bo or someone, the last one, he walks back into a Finn... What do you call that move? It's like a sling blade without the jumping.
Well, it's Big Show used to call it the final cut.
Yes, yeah. So Finn does that and you're like, ooh, that was a bit...
Heelish.
A bit heelish from Finn. And Finn walks off and then, like, that was great. I really liked it. Because it's kind of like, it feels like a heel turn, but it's not a heel turn. But it could set up something later on. This is really intriguing. And then Finn's walking up the ramp and they cut back to Seth, who's like, oh, you got me there.
What bants.
Bants, mate.
What such bants.
It's the exact same stupid bloody look that he had to Roman Reigns when Roman threw him out the Royal Rumble match.
Oh, such bants, though.
Oh, mate.
Rumble
good
bants.
One, mate.
Rumble banter.
I hate it. Why don't more people hate each other in WWE? Everyone should hate each other. But because we're all baby faces, hey, I'm Ronda, you're Nia. Big hugs.
Hey,
we're all friends.
And then if that person does something that's probably like, you know, why didn't Bayley react this way to Sasha when she eliminated her from the Elimination Chamber? Oh, banter, mate, though, isn't it? What banter?
It is infuriating. And it is tough. And I know we've brought it up already, but we are rewatching WrestleMania X7 where nobody likes anyone. Everybody hates everybody, and it's awesome.
Oh no, Edge and Christian like Kurt Angle.
But they're heels. That's what heels do. They're like just, oh, it's fine for heels to like each other because that's funny. But baby faces should all be vying to be the best. Ugh, I hate it. Anyway, next up we had Sasha Banks versus Ruby Riott, which was a very fun match.
It was actually, yeah, really fun. I really enjoyed this.
This caught me by surprise. I phased out for 5 minutes.
It caught me by surprise too.
It could have been a really boring first 5 minutes. I wouldn't know.
No, I was going to say.
Because it just washed over me.
I wasn't overly invested, but it turned into a really good match. I was like, oh, that actually genuinely surprised me. And they keep saying, oh, the Riot Squad run roughshod over SmackDown. I'm like, stop lying. They didn't. I review SmackDown Live. I know they didn't run across SmackDown. But like, it almost felt like it was a clean slate for them here. And Ruby getting she got the win over Sasha Banks. And I was like, oh, this feels like a good start. This is a good starting point for Ruby Riott and the Riott Squad. And I was quite happy about that. But you want to make your point?
Well, what were you going to say? I
was going to transition it into the Sasha and Bayley stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Banks earlier, directly before the match, cut a promo backstage, said that the Riott Squad are just dominating Raw. We've got to stop them. But Bayley isn't here. I'm just going to do it myself. So I think this is going to build to a Riott Squad versus Bayley and Banks match, and they'll just extend this feud out forever.
Did she really say that the Riott Squad have run across Raw?
It was along those lines.
It was along those lines. But yeah, she did say that, like, because Charlie Caruso, I believe, was saying, like, she was asking, oh, you know, the Riott Squad are out there. Is Bayley going to be in your corner? And my first thought was, what a stupid question, Charlie Caruso. Of course she's not. They're not friends. Like, we keep pretending that they are, but I've seen that they're not. They've attacked each other. They're not friends. And then Banks said, like, I tried to call and text Bayley, but she's not answered. Like, I'm not surprised. You're not friends. But yes, yeah, so, and then Sasha, I wrote this down word for word. Sasha says, Raw runs on boss time. And if Ruby wants a riot, she can bank on it. Because that's how people talk.
It is like someone's written that for a website. For a children's website.
There's a sign in the crowd that says, we allow women, which really made me laugh.
Very good. Canada's great.
Canada is great.
Nice one, Canada.
I can't wait to go there in August.
Yeah. Where am I? I've lost my place, actually. So, yeah, that was a 10-minute match overall. And a very good last 3 minutes.
It went so much longer than I was expecting it to go. And I really enjoyed it. And there was a lot of interference from the Riott Squad. So Banks couldn't overcome the numbers game. And Riott won with, like, a Riott kick while Sasha was on the top rope, which I thought looked really cool.
Yeah, and Sasha's kind of babyface comeback where she took out the Riott Squad outside but then eventually succumbed to Ruby was really good. And I was like, this is why I like Sasha Banks. And next up,
that might be the biggest win Ruby has had on the main roster.
It might
be her only win, but it certainly was the biggest one she's had.
I think she's probably beaten Charlotte in the hundreds of matches they've had.
Singles?
Yeah.
Do you reckon she'd beat Charlotte in a singles match?
I think that set up a match for... because of a lot of distractions. I swear that was the setup their fast lane match.
Oh, it might have been.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
It doesn't matter. So, don't get angry with us. Alexa Bliss next. In the second a moment of bliss, she bravely shared an example of bullying from Nia Jax with us. This was great.
Yes, so Alexa tells the story about how this one time she and Nia, who she thought was her best friend, they went to Walt Disney World. And
Walt Disney World.
What did I say?
What? I thought it was just Disney World.
All right, okay. Well, you know,
Walt Disney World.
Walt Disney World. Yeah, it's the spin-off. It was the original one.
It's the more.
alleged. You have a go at me for doing things like that. Alleged. But she went. They went to Disney World, and Nia just spent the whole time making fun of Alexa's height, and she was asking all of the attendants if Alexa was tall enough to go on the ride, even the teacups, and they're just teacups. As Alexa says, you just have to sit down on them. And Alexa's close to tears. And then my favorite moment of this, she's like, then they went to dinner, and Nia made the waiter give Alexa the kids menu, and then she laughed with two turkey legs in her hands.
The last line was, Naya turned the happiest place on earth into the saddest place ever.
The saddest day ever. Oh, this was so funny.
Yeah, it's really good.
It was the image of Naya laughing at her with two turkey legs in her hands.
That was great. That was great. So the funny. Delivery of
oh,
the cup line.
So great.
It's a cup. You just sit in a cup. Was superb.
It's so awesome. This is great.
Then we get then to not awesome. We got Titus Welds slide. This has been built up throughout the show.
That's very clever. Mm. Are you the first person to come up with that?
Yes.
One? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm the first person. They built this up throughout the night. Or we're gonna have an interview with Titus Worldwide about that time he tripped over on that glorified house show. It's hilarious. It was funny.
It was.
You're making me not like it. I know.
I said this in my news today. Something naturally funny happened in WWE, and the crowd reacted to it, and social media reacted to it, and we all thought it was funny. I laughed. I laughed a lot. I laughed so much that I got my wife and I was like, what, this is pretty funny. And she thought it was funny too. And then WWE have just done their best to drive it into the ground. It didn't take them long. 3 days it took them to just drive this into the ground.
That they are uncool parents.
Yes.
Who just want to quote your favourite lines back at you over and over again, not quite understanding why it's funny in the first place.
They are like season 7 Marge Simpson.
Sure. So Renee Young interviews Titus backstage about this falling over bit. Titus says, well, you know, it's the getting back up that counts.
Well, yeah, I did like that because they showed the clips of it again. You can actually hear the director calling them back in because they wanted to have their mics on with them laughing at the footage. And Titus says that, like, you know, he tried to cover for it, but then just went, nope, I just fell over.
Yeah. And that was nice.
And then it's all about the getting up. And then Baron Corbin walks in. He makes some sort of point and then walks away.
Well, Baron Corbin comes in and says, you know what would be more inspirational?
Not falling over.
Not falling over. And I was like, that's like a really funny bad line. Because if you got someone who has charisma and presence to deliver
that
line...
If the Iconics had said that line...
That would be... And if they, like, giggled at each other afterwards, or yeah. If it was Chris Jericho and he had, you know, those perfect comedic pauses, you know what would be more inspirational? If you didn't fall over.
Perfect.
Like, that's funny, but Baron Corbin just came out. And I like Baron Corbin, but good grief, he was flat on this show.
That's why I've just written here, he makes some sort of point, because I wasn't sure what point he had made.
Yeah.
When you said the words there, I was like, oh, I get it now. But it did not come across.
I guess that's what they were trying to do.
I was also then thoroughly distracted by Corey's hair, which is massive.
And then Titus says, it's okay. It's okay, Renee. I'm fine. Like, that was... It's absolute bollocks. Oh, sorry, we're not allowed to say that word.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just bad.
I got told off for it.
Matt Hardy was next backstage with his blue backdrop, and it was very bright because they're playing with the darkness and light imagery. And he says, he's sort of reading the book and says, me and Matt and Bray. there's so many celestial bodies. We've been present together throughout time. And then they do this sort of photoshopped montage.
Oh, there was a bit of pang of worry came over me when they start doing like crazy camera effects and then start doing this, and I was like, oh no. This is not good at all. And then I suddenly thought, oh no, I'm gonna have to go on Wrestle Ramble and say that I didn't like something that Woken Matt Hardy did, which means I'm just gonna get a load of nonsense said back to me. It's not nonsense, your opinions are nonsense. I don't mean that. A lot of people saying that I was wrong. But I thought this was hilariously unfunny and just made them seem less cool.
Yeah, I'll back you up here. This wasn't good. So it has like a picture of them photoshopped on a boat, and then in the background for that famous sailor kiss, they were in the reflection of
the
Apollo 11 moon landing. And it was, I don't know whether it was the music that was playing underneath it or if the images were wrong, but it just wasn't funny.
It was really bad. Mm. Really,
it wasn't really bad. It was just not funny.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a shame because
The only reason I say I thought it was really bad is because it made me like them less. Mm. And I'm not massively high on them at the moment anyway. And I'm trying to like them, but this makes me like them less.
Yeah.
And in terms of that, then it's a negative segment.
It's just I don't get why they're not treating this gimmick as Bray is. Like, the intrigue here is Bray being a woken character for me. I think that's really interesting, and I want to see that, but they're not. They're telling this story of lightness and darkness and Bray and Matt coming together to Leader of Worlds, because when Bray comes in, all the backdrop turns dark and they do his kind of stuff. But as we said last week, Matt won the feud. Bray should have to succumb to the woken stuff. It should all be woken themed for me, and the Wyatt gimmick needs to go away completely so people can miss it and it can come back. So
I was going to say, because when Bray turns on Matt and we just have that feud again, it'll feel like nothing has changed.
It's not. This wasn't good, and they're tag champs, so a bit rubbish. Yeah. Then we got the six-man tag of Jinder, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, losing to Bobby, Braun, and Roman.
My first note just reads, Roman, like a dick, tells Braun to get out because he's got this.
Mm. And then the heels brilliantly tag each other in. Yeah. And Sami Zayn's like squaring up for ages. Then he tags in Kevin Owens.
Yep.
Kevin Owens tags in Sami Zayn.
To more and more cheers. Yeah. The more they did it, the more crowd were into it.
I don't get, like, WWE should know this is a babyface funny thing to do. I don't know.
No.
I don't know. But that was popping the crowd. And yeah, the reactions to Bobby Lashley again were pretty flat.
I was going to say, I mean, Lashley, so Roman was beaten down for a long time, and then he tagged Lashley, and Lashley was tagged into just utter silence.
Mm.
And the only thing that really got a pop was Sammy teasing hitting the delayed suplex onto Lashley. And then Lashley attempted to do the delayed suplex, and Owens broke it up. And Owens tagged into a huge ovation. That was like the crowd just popped back up again. I'm just written here. WWE commentary is a huge issue, and I'm not sure why I've written that. Maybe it was just something I just thought at the time, but it really is a huge issue.
Yeah, I think we can agree on that.
Although I did laugh. So Coach has got this gimmick where he's got a new word every hour.
Mm.
It's just like, gentlemen, the time has ticked over, so I have a new word for this hour. And when the more he does it, the more Michael Cole just goes like, and groans. But his new word for hour three was frustrated. And then during this match, and Cole says, like, I think Owens didn't get the pin there. He looks really annoyed. And Koshi goes, you could say he's frustrated. And I did chuckle at that.
Mm, yeah. But
Corey's hair is also so big because it's full of secrets, apparently.
I think it's WWE commentary is an issue. Let's just leave it at that. It's a definite issue. So Roman was worked over for ages to build up to Braun's hot tag. And then Braun had a great hot tag.
He's your guy.
Yeah.
I've written in caps.
It's a really smart way to book him in recent weeks after the 10-year-old tag team title win. And that is, as these hot tags, he doesn't have to be exposed in long matches. So the best way to use Braun at the moment is in those squash matches or in a hot tag capacity for the ends of tag matches. And then you can build to the big singles matches at pay-per-views. WWE are doing many, many things wrong on Raw, but Braun Strowman, they're doing terrifically well.
Braun did his charge thing on the outside. He knocked over Owens, then he went and knocked over Zayn, yes. And then he went back to knock over Owens again, but Owens sidestepped him and went, phew! And it was great. But then he just threw him into the barrier.
Yeah, it was great. And then Braun beat Owens with a power slam.
Yeah.
It should have been Jinder.
Oh, that was pinned. Well, yeah. Does Jinder have a match at Backlash?
He is facing, I don't know. No, I don't think he does. Yeah, I don't know. So fun but pointless stuff.
I've also written in my notes here, remember Chad Gable won last week?
He would have been super over in Montreal.
Yeah.
Then Baron Corbin, off the back of that really hot Titus Worldwide segment earlier, got a match against No Way Jose, which was kind of set up the previous week when he attacked Jose from behind. Baron comes out trying to get booed with a promo.
Well, and this is, again, WWE's problem with scripting out their promos, including pauses for when the crowd reacts. Because he talks, like, he's literally going, like, oh, you're all just sitting there booing me. But they're not. Like, no one's reacting to him at all.
Yeah.
But he's acting like they are booing him. And it just makes him look like a complete doofus.
Especially because this was honestly the quietest moment of the night so far.
Yeah.
Because they've been so loud for everything else. The one line where it's like, oh, stop booing me, stop making so much noise, let me speak, is the one night, the one bit in the night where it's quietest.
Oh, it was really, really bad.
Jose comes out with his weird conga line thing that I hate. And then Titus, so during the match, they're having a match. Titus Worldwide comes out.
You called it their weird sex party.
Yeah, they just, I don't know. what's the only way they can all be partying like this is they're all on a lot of drugs and they just go back and have orgies. Otherwise they're adults. Why would they do this?
They could be students. Non-stop? They could be students, and students love to dress up like knobheads and act like complete dicks. Mm. Could be them.
Could be.
Yeah.
So then Titus Worldwide come down, and Dana Brooke and Apollo Crews wipe the area where Titus tripped over at first.
I really wish, I mean, I know the whole joke about this is we're worried that Titus is running. I really wish Dana Brooke would stop running in those heels because it looks like she can't. And I just, something is going to break.
Oh, she's a competent lady. Trish Stratus did it at WrestleMania X7.
But when Trish Stratus you mentioned that, do you want people to pledge on Patreon or something?
Maybe.
But when Trish like legs it in those heels, I'm like, yeah, she's comfortable and she can definitely run in those. When like Dana Brooke is taking like Bambi on ice steps because she could just topple over each way and the other. It's terrifying.
Well, anyway, Titus comes down and he gets the bit. They wipe it down for him and he steps over very calmly. It was fine, and it would have been funny, but I was kind of over it by this point. And then he gets onto the ring apron and takes a bump off the apron
while he was trying to get into the ring. Yeah,
and that distracted Baron Corbin. Jose got the roll up win. It was actually all a ploy. Titus just fell over because that's his gimmick now. He did it on purpose to cost Corbin the victory, and it was like that's good, and it was kind of funny. But I felt like it had already passed for me.
Well,
when they did this,
my worry is I can't remember the exact timeline of this, but I'm going to say 8 years ago or so, 8 or 9 years ago, R-Truth once cut a promo where he got the town name wrong, and to this day that is still his gimmick, that he is clueless and doesn't know where he is or what is going on. I just don't want to be sitting here. 8 years from now, I mean, I want to be sitting here 8 years from now because I like this job, but I don't want to be sitting here 8 years from now talking about Titus still falling over.
I think he might be, because it's not like he's got a lot else going on.
No. The Titus Worldwide thing hasn't exactly been the most successful gimmick in the world.
So Mickie James,
even with Dana Brooke,
versus Natalya next, and this is where we thought Natalya got a huge pop because she's Canadian, but it's actually because she's got a Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they had an okay match. I would have... Mickey, they weren't really put in a position to have a good match. It was like 3 minutes and then it was a distraction. A distraction roll-up, I would say. Alexa Bliss got on the apron.
Yeah.
And Natalya went to chase her off. Ronda Rousey chased Alexa off. Mickey James was looking at Alexa. And then Natalya rolled her up.
Basically the same finish as the previous match.
Yeah, pretty much. So Ronda Rousey looked mean, but it did feel a bit like... Ronda was wasted here.
Totally. Absolutely. Mm. And then, so Alexa Bliss is then on the apron, and then Nia Jax comes out, not with her championship belt, and Alexa Bliss runs away, but this time she runs into the crowd, and then Nia gets into the ring, and you think, oh, there's going to be a moment here between Nia and Ronda and Natalya. There's going to be something here. But then Nia just smiles, and they raise each other's arms, and they all cheer.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't like it, but I can see... I'm not really angry about this because I think on paper it works because you have Nia come out and they do a few seconds of tense stare down. Like, it's just like a glance.
Mm.
And this is the first time they've interacted. So that's perfectly fine to just start off small and build from there. But I wouldn't have then had Nia smile big and raise both ladies' arms. Especially with the Seth Rollins and Finn Balor stuff earlier. I was just sick of baby faces all liking each other. I would have preferred like a proper Nia Jax stare down of Ronda. Natalya maybe pushes them both away friendly. And that would have been a lot more dramatically intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So then you didn't see this, but Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler got one of the more homosexual promos in recent times.
Did they really?
Yeah, so they're both in... it has Drew and Dolph or whatever it has on the screen.
I really hate those placards.
And then it cuts to them both in a hotel room, I guess. Drew is topless. Dolph is just wearing his sort of jacket thing, and he's topless underneath that. They're looking up at the camera there. And they cut a promo about how they're here to take Raw on now. But I just couldn't stop looking at the fact that they were topless in a hotel room together.
Mm.
Just thought it was a bit funny.
Especially because if you consider like when they were setting up to record this, And they were just like, should we call that promo? And I was like, oh no, I didn't take my top off first. And then Dove was like, if you're taking yours off, I better take mine off too. But we can't both be topless. So if I put my jacket on, will that look weird? No, I should be all right, mate.
It was an okay promo, but Drew's promo the previous week was so good that, and in front of a live crowd, and this was just to a camera, just kind of saying the same points again. It would have been better not to have it, I think, overall. But the main event was an absolute corker.
This was far
the best thing on the show.
100%.
Seth Rollins beating Finn Balor to retain his Intercontinental title.
Man, like, this was just, it was so quick and slick. And again, these are your guys. Like, it's they're so more over than Roman Reigns. And like, they're just, they can have these main event quality matches that are just outstanding. Like, I thought this was really, really great stuff. And it was because Balor's promo earlier in the night was all about, like, you and I have had four singles matches. I've won two and you've won two. So let's have the match now to decide who is the better of them. And they had a very, very competitive match. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter this morning, like, they messaged me saying, like, oh, I thought this really hurt Finn. And I don't think it hurt Finn really, because they had a very competitive match. Finn at any point looked like he could have won the match. He had some really good near falls off of it, and it was all built around previous spots from previous matches. It was the perfect final match of a 5-match series.
Yeah, that. Well, if that is the final match, I'm hoping it will go on a bit longer. But yeah, just the way they, because if you take all 5 matches as one big chunk, that there is a story of moves told through each one. You know, how many times have we seen them riff off the basic spot from Seth Rollins of the superplex into the Falcon Arrow?
Yeah.
We've seen that get hit in, like, the first match. In the second match, Finn Balor got a roll-up victory off of the superplex rather than the Falcon Arrow. And here, it was Finn Balor who managed to power Rollins up after the superplex, despite being just hit by a superplex and hit the Falcon Arrow on Rollins. Really good.
Oh,
and
I loved
crowd
it.
Popped huge, because I suppose they're a more wrestling fan crowd than the more mainstream crowds of usual. And there was another really good spot where, because these two men know each other so well, Rollins was able to block Finn's kick when he was up on the turnbuckle. It looked like it hit him first, but, you know, he did have the arm up. Really nicely structured,
really
match,
good stuff.
Playing off stuff from before.
Yeah, big fan of this. This is awesome.
But the interesting bit. But back to that point about Balor being hurt. Like, what is Balor before this match?
Mm.
So, like, what is there to hurt? Really, he's pretty flattened out by WWE booking. So, him winning this match would be too much. Like, that would hurt Rollins, you know. So, Balor is definitely better after this match than he was before. And that's all you can ask for sometimes.
Is he on the Backlash card?
I don't know. I think he might come out and cost Rollins a title. I got the sense, this is what I was going to come on to, and it was what my Raw review was about. With the previous segment of Finn attacking Rollins at the end, and just the way Finn was trash-talking Seth, and giving him quite brutal chops and stuff. And there were a few times where there was a great sequence near the end where Finn kept on getting roll-ups. I thought he was going to go for the tights and get a win. And that wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world, I thought. But I really did feel like this was a heel thing for Finn. Not a totally heel thing, but there were definitely elements there that could be built on.
If they are going to do it, that's not a Backlash, because I think that Miz is not winning the title at Backlash. Because Miz is now on SmackDown.
It'll be too awkward.
So I think that Rollins will likely retain. But it is something you could do post that. And that match, this match here, is a good sort of starting off point for that. Yeah.
Yeah, so like a post-match beatdown angle.
Yeah.
And I read, because Raw is short on top heels and top babyface. It just feels like it's short on everything, to be honest. And to refreshen up.
Apart from Braun. It's got a lot of Braun.
And to switch Finn would be it would catapult him up. It'd be like a rejuvenation of his character, just like we've seen with Nakamura on SmackDown. But yes, overall a great match to end with. But overall, like, just a forgettable show for me. Which, you know, it's backlash.
I was going to say,
well.
It's quite easy to forget that this was a go-home show for a pay-per-view that is happening this weekend. I genuinely forgot that Backlash was this weekend. In fact, you and I yesterday, when we were making our plans for next Monday, because it's a bank holiday here in the UK, I was just going to do the news episodes on my own until I looked at the camera and was like, oh no, wait, we can't because it's Backlash and we've both got to be here.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah.
Damn Backlash.
Damn Backlash.
It's always Backlash.
It's always Backlash.
The one time it is, we bloody forget it.
So
what would you give it out of five?
I mean, I thought it was just like a really like below average show. But
so
I,
poor?
Well, no, but I really like the main event, which sort of elevated it
it's
for me.
It's a 3-hour show, though.
Yeah, I know, but I really, really liked that main event. And, you know, I thought the crowd reactions to Sammy and Kevin were fun as well.
The crowd were great throughout.
And I surprisingly enjoyed the Sasha-Ruby Riott match. Was there anything else I liked in this show? No, I think that's probably about it.
Slim picking.
So maybe it was a low average.
Cool. Yeah, well, I went for poor, but a pretty solid poor.
So tell us about the ending of your fast. Obviously, the last time you and I spoke, you were 26 hours in, I believe, to your your non-eating ways.
Yeah.
And you eventually did, I believe, you did 2.5 days in the end, right?
I did a full 3-day fast.
Oh, mate.
So not a single calorie passed these lips for 3 days, 72 hours. And I lost 4 kilograms.
I still don't know what that means.
That's a measurement of weight one would have on the body.
Cool, but like, how heavy is that?
That is, what? It's 4 kilograms.
What's it in pounds?
See that bell, the ring bell?
Right.
It's probably 2 of those.
Okay, but how much? What is it in pounds?
Google it.
I'm a metric man.
What metrics kilograms?
I mean, I'm a non-metric man. Yes. What is it? How many stones? What's the?
That's imperial. So it's 9 pounds.
Okay, that's pretty good.
So
that's almost a stone.
It's a baby.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, that's 12 pounds in a stone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man,
that's pretty much.
Yeah, that's like nearly a stone. Well done, you.
Well, you know, it was a lot of it was
water
just fat. And while I was still drinking a lot of water, that's the only thing I'm allowed. But yeah, sooner I managed to put most of it back on
in the next,
but it was never about losing weight. I don't need to lose weight. I'm in that thankful position.
Don't want to say that, but
it was more to just see if I could do it,
and
I could do it. I mean, it made me a horrible person for a good 24 to 36 hours. I came back on Thursday night. My lady partner had company round. I was just an ass.
I was about to ask, at what hour did you turn into a horrible person?
I would say, yeah, it was when I got home from Infinity War.
I was going to say, because I'd say at hour 26, you were still okay.
I was
like,
okay.
You were quiet, but as soon as we got into the booth and to record stuff, you became Ollie Davis again.
Yeah, turned it on.
You just turned it on, man.
I was dry heaving all Friday. This is probably reasons not everyone should attempt this. It's crazy. There's nothing in me to dry heave out. But I was
scary.
Yeah, and I thought, I've got to drive to the studio to record that day's news. I just about managed to get 2 scripts out. And I was dizzy and lightheaded. And it kind of felt like I was drunk. And I was like, should I really be driving? But as soon as you concentrate on something...
Answer, no.
As soon as you concentrate on something, everything's fine.
Mm.
So it's like, okay. And it was like driving when you're really, really sleepy, but without the sleepiness, if that makes sense. So,
I mean, that sounds fine.
Yeah, it's totally fine. And I got to the studio, and as soon as I put on that jacket, boom, Ollie's back in the town. But yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
But when I did break it, I had my mouth had almost forgotten how to eat. So on a Saturday afternoon, I had a burger. A tin of beans.
When you say a tin of beans?
A tin of beans.
Cold?
Baked beans. No, these were all heated up.
But what, so you just like did a tin of beans in a pan?
Yeah.
And just ate the beans?
On a plate with a burger.
Oh, right. Sorry. I thought you were like, this was 2 separate meals.
No. This is one big meal.
This is one big meal. Right, okay.
And 3 eggs in scrambled form with a knob of butter. Huge knob. Absolutely massive knob.
Such a knob.
Of butter. And I ate all that, and I was like, that was amazing. And I felt a bit giddy and then lightheaded. I had to sit down. And I thought, I'm going to go out and get a pizza. And I went out and I got a pizza. I was fantasizing. I had a dream on Friday night that I was eating Rice Krispies. And that was the dream. Nothing else happened. I was just enjoying Rice Krispies.
Oh, man. And who doesn't enjoy Rice Krispies?
Exactly. Well, it was. I did it, though. It's a weird thing to say to yourself before you eat something. I haven't eaten for 3 days. And then you do it.
Yeah.
Like, screw you, concept of hunger.
I am... speaking of bizarre dreams, I sleepwalked twice last night.
You are a sleepwalker.
And woke up my wife on both occasions. So the first one, it's three in the last 2 or 3 days or so. It's actually more common than I'm used to. I haven't sleepwalked in a while.
What do you think that's down to?
I don't know, to be honest.
I think it was the greatest Royal Rumble. You're just so worried about Roman not having the title.
But on the last night, so I woke up in my dream. I'd been teleported into my bed, and I wasn't sure how I got there. So I kind of like just sat up, and I kind of had to look around and work out how I had got there and worked out. But that's by the by. The second one, I was jolted awake because I felt our bed break.
Whoa!
Like, and I just heard it go like clunk, and I felt myself drop, but I didn't drop really. My wife, it was on her side. It just dropped, and I woke up. I was like, and I woke her up, and I was like, Babe, the bed's broke. And she went, what? And I was like, I think the bed's just broke. And she's like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure that it's just broken. She's
like living with an outpatient.
She was like, honestly, it's fine. And I was like feeling across the bed. And when I was rubbing my hand across the bed, I could feel it like dropping down.
No.
And I was like, it's so broken. And then after a while, I ran my hand across again and it was completely flat. And I was like, oh no, it's absolutely fine.
You've got magic powers.
And then we got back and we sort of like got into a spinning position, and my wife just said to me, was like, I was having a dream that you and I were dancing down a street like we were in a musical. It was magical. And I was like, sorry I woke you up.
There you are, breaking the bed in your dream.
I know.
Well, let's do an iTunes review before we get out of here. From the Matt G.
Oh, he sounds like a gangster. Yeah. What up, gangsters?
5 stars this gangster gives us. This podcast is... all in capitals here. Very, 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 very consistent.
We are consistent. Yes, we are.
Thumbs up emoji, hashtag SWAF. Thank you, Matt G. The next one is a 1-star review.
What?
It's quite rare. It does happen.
It does happen. What's his complaint?
So I'm not going to read out I'm actually going to read out the username. This is someone's Apple account. Ollie is trash.
They have set up that account just to say that you're trash. You're a trash panda.
Yeah. And they have... I'm just going to... Actually, this is quite funny. I'm disappointed is the name of the review. 1 star, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm extremely disappointed in your latest review and this podcast. You two never or rarely acknowledge Impact Wrestling or any other company. Ollie, you've said you thought Broken Matt Hardy was terrible. Now in WWE, you love it. Hypocrite! I'm no longer a fan of you two. I've unsubscribed from the YouTube channel and the iTunes podcast. Ouch. So... This was left March 20th, so quite a while ago.
God, this was ages ago.
I remember reading it, and this was honestly 2 weeks after I said, initially I didn't like the broken gimmick. You know when I was like defending to you during those times? I said, but honestly, the stuff they did in Impact, it really grew on me, and it turned out to be great once you buy into the whole universe. So I'm just going to go ahead and assume this person's an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, he does sound like a massive dill hole.
It could be a lady.
Yeah, well, I mean, did I say this person? Did I say...
Oh, I think you said he.
Okay, maybe. Well, I'd take that back. That person sounds like an absolute dill hole.
But, back to the 5 stars. Frazzled Yoke writes, support Wrestle Ramble.
Well, I like this guy.
Hi, Luke and Dolly.
This person.
I've been listening to Wrestle Ramble since the very first episode, both on YouTube and iTunes, and I just love it. With Wrestle Talk reaching 500,000 subscribers and evolving so much over the last year, I just want to say how proud I am of you guys and to be a part of the SWAF Nation.
Oh, yes,
thank you,
lovely.
Frazzled Yoke.
Yes.
The other guy can do one.
He can do one. What a dill hole. So don't know if it's a guy or girl.
We are off to record the rest of WrestleMania X7, our review there. Go over to Patreon and pledge if you haven't already, so you can hear that. Hopefully it'll be out tomorrow. if we get our asses in gear.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got some editing to do on it, but I'm hoping that I can get it edited tomorrow. That is my plan.
And for all the other folks, we'll be back with our thoughts on SmackDown tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.